It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, our final one for a while. We are going to carry this show on over the summer, and starting in the middle of May, we will have one show a month, and we'll podcast that show for the fans who forget about it or don't hear it the first time. And Damon Witten's with us, and the end of a tough season last Saturday night at Ferris State. Damon, we set it up with four straight victories on the road, two at a very good Bemidji State team with a couple of shutouts, and then we beat Alaska Anchorage, a team that's tough on its home ice. We beat them twice, so we had four wins in a row, and everybody was fired up to play at Ferris State, but they beat us 4-1, 4-2, and that ends the Lakers' season. And first time that we have not been in the playoffs since you've been coaching here, and just look back, if you will, about the season and maybe a few comments about where things went right, where things went wrong, and what we do for the future.
Yeah, well, way too much wrong, obviously. This is not a position you want to find yourself sitting in. So that's definitely, very disappointing and very frustrating in a lot of different levels. And so that's got to be corrected quickly. I think you and I talked, Bill, on Tuesday night that we felt like in a lot of ways, maybe last March, last April, this was going to be a year where we took a big step forward with what we were returning and the way our team was shaping up. And then obviously you got hit pretty heavily. Where we got hit heavily by defections, a couple guys signed NHL contracts, you get Luke Morgan transferring to Michigan, and all of a sudden your roster looks quite a bit different than we thought coming into it. And I think, with those defections in place and kind of going through summertime, I really am excited about the look of our decor moving forward, but probably knew there'd be some growing pains there when you're playing what we ended up playing, three freshmen almost every single night, I think two more sophomores. One of those sophomores was Steven Ruggiero when he got eligible at Christmas time, was new to our program. So essentially like a freshman, he played a little bit of college hockey. So we knew there'd be some challenges that way as well. And that'd be one of the things we'd have to, quickly get in place and develop. And, I thought it wasn't a bad start. We go out, we split with Northern Michigan. We tie Michigan Tech. We go out, tie Denver, the number one team in the country. And then all of a sudden that's where, it fell apart a little bit when you lose Colin Sockerman and Lucas Kiebel for, really over 2 months of play, and Colin, I'm not sure, ever got back to 100%. He's probably playing around 90-95% here late. Lucas, same thing. I think he got back to 100 over the last couple of weeks here, but we already had a young, inexperienced decor, and you take two of our top guys out, that was challenging. Matt McCardle ends up missing the last couple months as well, and so I thought that was tough. However, going into that, you mentioned the Bemidji sweeps with two shutouts, going up to Anchorage, only giving up a couple goals. The Ferris had three shorthanded goals on the weekend, so I think we gave up seven goals in our last six games or something close to that. I think the team defense with goaltending, with our D personnel, with our team structure, that's what we're going to have to be moving forward. I think we'll be better offensively with what we're adding in and what we return. But it's about being, great defensively and not giving the opponents a lot of offense, a lot of scoring ability against you. So, that'll be the makeup of our team moving forward. And I think, again, with what we return, we lose Kyle Chatham, who was a big piece of it and a real good four-year guy for us, a great senior for us. The other D are Ryan Renz and Aiden Wright. Ryan, struggled to crack the lineup regularly this season. And then Aiden Wright converted to forward because of what we liked with some of our young decor there as well. So, certainly lose some key pieces. And then JT Hankey up front, a real good offensive catalyst to our team that he'll be missed certainly in the power play, mostly. But we return most everything else on our team here. So, that step we thought was last year has to be next year now, starting right now. We'll meet, we're already meeting. Workouts will start up after spring break next week for our guys, a chance to get out of town and, just kind of refocus and, come back ready to go. And it's going to be a training camp mentality where, we're going to demand that each guy takes a look in the mirror and takes a big step forward, starting with myself and our staff. We've got to have that year we thought could happen this year, now is next year. We've got to be in that mix for home ice and find a way to keep ourselves playing at home in March.
Well, you got a lot of good returnees coming back next year. I'm thinking up front you'll have good leadership out of Diego Cuglietta and Gage Terrell, a couple of good forwards there. You've got some returning other players who are good leadership people, so
that should not really be a huge problem for this team. Your goaltending, well, it got tested a few times. It gave up some goals it probably shouldn't have during the season. I thought Merrick Smittens got really good as the season went on, and he's just a freshman, so he's got a lot of time to mature here. And I still think he's going to be a really good goaltender. And Nick Kossoff gave you some great games, and he's got another year left. So goaltending, defense should be okay. You got some good leadership. I guess right now the big thing is to find a little bit more scoring or create it or have some guys step up who are freshmen and sophomores right now.
Yeah, well, no question. You know, starting with that goaltending position group, they all return. You know, Nick Kossoff has shown the ability to play at a high level. He had some great wins going back to his freshman year, some great games this year as well. But it has to be consistent. You know, our goaltending has to give us a chance every night to look down the ice and at least at minimum match the guy in the other net. And there's great goaltenders in this league, great goaltenders around the country, but we have to match that. So Nick has that ability, has to find the consistency in his game to give that to us. And as you mentioned, I thought Merrick took big steps. You know, both those guys finished extremely strong down the stretch run when we really needed them. And I think that, you know, is exciting to say they're coming back more mature, more experienced. And then Roman Banger was on campus all season with us. His ruling from the NCAA due to some of his background with advisors and attending major junior camp didn't allow him to be eligible this year. But Roman was a Manitoba Junior Hockey League goalie of the year, and we thought when he came in, he'd have a chance to earn starts, and I think he would have had a chance this year to play games had he been eligible. But Roman will add to that depth and that mix and fight for his role as well. So I think that's good. We hit the decor, you know, again, a couple losses of some experienced guys, but for the most part, our top guys are returning, and I think, you know, we're going to need more offensive output from our back end. I think that capability is there when you look at guys like Tyler Anderson and Will Rydell. You know, both have good sticks, and Tyler was a big-time scorer in junior hockey. Lucas Kybel, with a year of health and under his belt, will take that step. Colin Sockerman, I mean, I thought, again, he finished really well, and I don't think he was 100% ever this season beyond those first couple of weeks when we were pretty darn good. So that'll be exciting. And then you mentioned, you know, Gage Terrell is going to have to get back to, you know, that sophomore year level. I think he had 14 goals as a sophomore. I think he ended up with 6 this year. You know, we can't have guys drop off. We got to have them step up. And you know, Diego, I think, will keep moving forward. Had a really strong year once again, a big part of our team. Max Humitz, another strong year. You know, I think he'll come into next year with almost, 25, 28 goals as a junior. I think Braden Gelsinger needs to get back to that early freshman year level. He's got a guy that has to take a step and emerge as well. So there's some others. I thought Hampus Eriksson was maybe one of our best forwards the last 3-4 weeks. He's going to have a good summer and move forward. Guy like Ashton Calder coming in to help, you know, help us score more goals. He's a natural goal scorer. Part of the reason why we recruited Ashton, because he is one of those guys that just naturally can score and finish. And there'll be other guys with him like Owen Guy as well. So I think it's going to be really competitive. Again, JT Hankey is really the only forward that, you know, on paper we lose out of that group. And, you know, we're going to have 3 to 5 guys that are coming in that are, you know, really impactful players within their teams, within their leagues, that will make us a better, deeper team up front.
Yeah, we talked the other night about making sure that players are taking things seriously over the summer, because a lot of these guys get out of here. You can't really watch them every day or make them come into a weight room. You can if they're here, I guess, but or if they want to. But most of them will go home. So now you got to set a plan of action for them to get bigger and stronger. You said on Tuesday that you'll test them before they leave, and you'll test them when they first come back, and therein you'll learn whether they did what you want them to do. I think it's really key that some of these players, I'm thinking of Eriksson, Yuki Miura in particular, maybe even Tyler Anderson on defense, they got to get stronger physically, they got to get bigger up top, and if they do that, they could be really good players.
Take that big step. Yeah, there's no question. I think you mentioned probably the three, you know, biggest guys that this area will impact. You know, I don't think Tyler Anderson quite understands, you know, the potential he has to be a big-time player and a guy that I think will have a chance to sign an NHL contract when it's all said and done. But I'm not sure he knows, you know, what it takes to work yet. Like, and that's one of the things we've talked about with Terry Mitro and with our kinesiology department is putting a heart rate monitor on him and teaching him what it takes to work to get his heart rate into a target zone that's elevated from what it is now. You know, I think Hampus can get to that workload, but he's got to reshape his body a little bit. Yuki needs to get stronger. He's a smaller guy, but a great skater and fast and quick and all those things, but he does need to get stronger for sure. And no different from you know, Diego, Gage, things like that. You know, they're about as strong as they'll ever be in their lives, but they need to get back to the, you know, their peak level coming into next season, but also improve cardio. And really, to me, the biggest thing is take ownership. You know, when we meet, we're going to lift in the mornings coming up here and just try to, you know, provide a little bit of a challenge and some grit and some discipline in the things we're trying to do here. So if somebody's late or somebody misses a workout or whatever happens, you know, a guy like Diego has to grab a guy, you know, rather forcefully, quite honestly, and Gage Terrell and, you know, all these leaders, all these guys who have been around, Colin Sockerman, you know, they have to hold each other accountable. You know, we'll do it from our end for sure and the best we can, but we can't be everywhere. We're not out with them on the weekend. We're not in their houses and the places they live off campus. So our accountability from within, you know, has to improve. I think it will improve. I think one of the real positives, we talked about this as well on Tuesday night, is I think probably for the first time now that we're here is some of our best players are now upperclassmen and leaders. Sometimes it's hard when you have guys wearing letters that maybe can't go out and impact the game on the ice and kind of back up what they say with good play. I think we have that now with guys like Gage and Diego and Colin and others as well. But those guys now, they're gonna speak their mind, and now they can go back it up on the ice next fall. So I think our accountability, our leadership will take some steps that way as well.
Yeah, we're going to need some depth too, and I know you've got a number of players coming in, and we've mentioned you know, Ashton Calder and Owen Guy and people who have signed national letters of intent. I think there are a couple of others too, and you got quite a list there, like most college programs do nowadays, Division I programs at least. You've got quite a few people on that list that you could bring in. Some are ready, some are not. You always want over-ready people. You made a trip to British Columbia. You and Mike both went to different places and the same place in at least one occasion recently. Did you see anything there that you liked? Do you think you'll get a commitment or maybe even two out of that trip?
Yeah, well, I definitely dealing with some players, you know, and I think this time of year, as we learned a year ago, when you're having your exit meetings and, you know, hearing from your players what their plans are and what they anticipate, whether they'll be back or not back, that shapes some of that. You know, I think next year's roster, we're probably around 26, 27 right now, so we have room for one to three guys, something like that, roughly, and part of that's going to be going through our committed guys and making that determination if they are over-ready. Or if, you know, they feel like they need a little bit more seasoning. There'll be some input from those players and their families. Certainly a lot of input from our side of it where we see them stacking up. But, you know, if you're looking at guys, and it doesn't matter whether you're the Detroit Red Wings or Lake Superior State, you know, I don't think you're going to have an expectation of a guy who, you know, if they're not having strong years with their current team, you know, how can you expect them to leave that junior level and come in and impact our team? So, you know, that's part of what we're going through is making sure those guys are ready physically, mentally, that they've carried a good load on their current teams and they're ready to come in and contribute. So that's really the first phase here. You know, Mike York's on the road right now watching some games, or I guess returning here, and we'll continue to be out in a quite heavy way as we finalize that last spot or two. You know, hey, is there some 20-year-olds that can come in and maybe have a bigger impact than some of those younger guys on the commitment list? And having those conversations, we're really happy with our commitments. You mentioned some are signed, we've mentioned names, others still need to sign that national letter of intent, but we've got good players out there, and the guys that we have slated in that are over ready, I think they're going to come in and impact our team. And you look at some of the goal scoring, you talked about Ashton Calder, you know, Owen Guy, there's another guy out playing in Owen's area there that, you know, if they're not leading their league in goals, they're right up there, and that's obviously something we need to focus on, is improving our goal scoring.
Yeah, that's a big deal to me, and I think that's important. It's good to hear that we're taking a look at everything there. We're going to take a break here on Laker Hockey Talk. It's our final show weekly for a while. We will have a show in mid-May, another one in mid-June, mid-July, mid-August, mid-September, before we get back into the saddle full-time weekly starting next October. But we're going to take a break here this morning. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten talking Laker hockey, our favorite subject. And Damon, we lose some players here. You mentioned it briefly here in the first half. We talked about it several shows on the Laker Hockey Show and Laker Hockey Talk lately. But Kyle Chatham left this week to play in Reading in the East Coast Hockey League. And I think he's going to do well in the East Coast League. I think he's made for that at this point in his career. JT Hinkie's in Greenville in South Carolina. And Reading's actually a playoff team right now in third place. Chatham could be playing for a while here if they like him down there. But good to see our guys get an opportunity. And I think Aiden Wright and Ryan Renz may pursue something along those lines as well. But those are four players we're going to have to replace for next year.
Yeah, and I just want to be sure that, you know, when that happens, some people might think it's strange. You know, those guys have worked out with, you know, the Provo office and their professors that they will continue their education. So those guys are all on track to graduate and will finish and do that as well. But a great opportunity for them to get some pro games in and, you know, kind of gain that experience as they embark on their pro careers. You know, Kyle Chatham's probably the smartest one of the bunch. He just flew to Orlando. Redding's on a road trip, so he'll meet up in Florida with them and, you know, enjoy that. And I do like the thought, you know, I guess, you know, when you look at JT, I think getting playoff experience, you know, I would have weighed that a little bit more if I was JT to go through a playoff run and you know, gain as much time as you can. It might have been a class issue, too, for JT where he had to get back to campus in a little bit shorter window. So all those things play into it. But no, good for those guys. You know, we appreciate all they did for our program. They were tremendous ambassadors for Laker hockey, you know, tremendous student athletes as well, you know, in a lot of different ways. And I talked a lot about the different recruiting paths that they took to get here. And, you know, Chatham and Aiden Wright, you know, I'll never forget when we came in here, you know, Churchman had just signed. We didn't have many experienced D. I think Eric Traplick was really our only defenseman on roster that had played any significant Division I, you know, hockey. And we spent hours and hours watching video, making phone calls, you know, trying to find, you know, it was late. It was late April into May, maybe even June by the time, you know, we kind of got to those guys. And most guys have been committed for a while there. So they came in, did a really good job for us, really solidified a position group we were concerned about and, you know, gave it their all to this program. So I think they put a lot of good foundation in place for our program, and we want to wish them all well and thank them for their time here at Lake State.
You know, there's another thing about that, too. It seems to me over the years, and I've been around a long time now, that we've gotten some really good hockey players late. And I looked at that Ferris State lineup, and I still think Cole Norris is a really good freshman hockey player. He's got 12 goals now in his first season, and that's matching up to what Max Humitz did for us last year, scoring 12 goals. That's really good production, and he's a kid they picked up in June. I remember when Jeff Jakaitis came to the Lakers, we got him in August, and he came in here and stood on his head. He was the best goaltender we'd had since Blaine Locker, and he's still playing pro. You know, you can get good players late, and I know you know that. That's why you can be a little bit optimistic here. If we need to pick somebody up, there'll be somebody who can play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that, like I said, we're, you know, if you stop by Taffy, you know, you'll see all of our screens going. We're streaming games. And like I said, Mike's been on the road already, and Rich and I will get out there. That, you know, there's not a lot of secrets in today's world because so much has changed with the internet and the connectivity of everybody. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's some guys that haven't gone through the clearinghouse quite yet. Obviously, one of the big things coming up in the next probably month or two will be, you know, who loses somebody early like we did. You know, we lost a couple guys and we're able to go get Will Rydell. And if Will, you know, had his clearinghouse things in line, he would have been committed, you know, in September. So the same thing when Jason Bird left at Christmas, Chris Bendoulis was right there. We grabbed Chris. And so you have to stay on it. You have to keep working your contacts. You have to get out and have a presence as well. But and then there's going to be a lot of guys that are getting pushed back, you know, so some 98s that are really good players. That, you know, whatever school it is, they're not going to have room. And you can look at a program downstate that has just a huge commitment list. Even if, you know, they had a bunch of unexpected losses, there's no way they could honor all the commitments they have out there. So there'll be guys like that as well. So not only are you watching uncommitted guys, you're kind of keeping an eye and an ear out to who's not going to get in somewhere or get pushed back because there's not room. You hear a lot of stories these days when the NLI, the National Letter of Intent, actually gets sent out to a kid. They were promised 75. It shows up to their house and it's 25. I mean, there's some amazing stories of what goes on. So we want to make sure that we're in the mix for those kids. You know, if we think they can help our program and we can make room for them, and they'll come in and make us a better locker room, a better product on the ice, we're going to make sure we're involved with those guys.
Any news at all that we can talk about with regard to schedule for next year? I'm hearing we're playing Michigan. We're going to play them next year. I don't know that that's true. I know we're in the GLI. I remember when the word came out on that, but are there any things we could tell folks as we leave here at the end of the season that we're going to be doing next year?
Well, you mentioned those are two of the big ones. Going on to the Great Lakes Invitational will obviously be great for our program. It's a phenomenal tournament, has been for years and years, and I think the excitement being in Little Caesars Arena is tremendous as well. So I think that'll be exciting. As you mentioned, Michigan, we have an existing contract where we went down there, I guess it was 2 years ago now, I think. So we got a couple of years left to work through that contract, and that'll be happening. So that'll be a big weekend here in Sault Ste. Marie as well. And again, still working on a couple other things. When we get down to our national convention here in about a month and a half, we'll kind of finalize some contracts and some details, and like to find another home weekend if we can here, but we got some work to do still there as well, and always looking to get an interesting mix as well. And I think with our athletic administration staff in place, we'll have word out a little bit earlier than a lot of years or in past years, but we do need to get through April. When we get down there as a room, as coaches, certainly within our league, we're going to talk face-to-face. And if I'm looking to try to flip my Bemidji weekend, I'll work with Tom Ceratori to see if we can make changes there. So there's some movement that'll happen just within our league as we try to, do what's right for our programs in our league. And so a situation doesn't happen like this year. There should never be a team in our league that's not home for the whole month of February. That's just not right. So we'll get down there in a room together and try to fix those issues.
Yeah, that'll be important for our fans. I hear that complaint a lot that we didn't play at home in February. It doesn't help us either. I mean, our attendance fell off as it was because we weren't winning enough. And then you don't play a home game the whole month of February. People are done with you. The season's over now, and they're looking forward to next October. But it would be nice to square that away and make sure we've got home games each month, and I know that's what you're working on right now.
Yeah, and it doesn't look that way next year. I think it was a bit of a one-time quirk there, but I think had I had more time coming in, and those were set a year or so into it, that maybe you can do some changing with the guys in conference, and somebody can kind of understand your plight, and maybe you switch a weekend early on. But a lot goes into it. You can't necessarily flip a trip to Bemidji to the first half if you're coming off a trip to Huntsville and a trip to Denver. Then you've got three tough weekends in the first half. So it's not a perfect world right now in the WCHA. Our travel is a concern to all of us, and we'll watch a team like Mankato going in the NCAAs before too long, what that looks like and how they do. But we talk a lot about that as a league, how do we cut down on our travel? We've got to do what's right for our student athletes and to show up well in the national tournament as well. So it's an ongoing issue that we have to tackle as a league as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're down to the end of the season. Only two teams missed the playoffs, us and Anchorage this year. And wouldn't you know it, Anchorage finishes off with two victories after we beat them twice. So they wanted to play hard against their arch rivals there, the University of Alaska. I thought we played pretty well at Ferris State, just to take a quick look back at that one. I think we played well enough to win those games. We just didn't score goals, and that's been a real bugaboo. I think Anthony Nellis had six glorious scoring chances Saturday night alone. Came away with a couple of crossbars and a goalpost. That's about it. But he played well.
Yeah, and I thought Saturday night was tough because, we had five breakaways in the game, and two or three of them shorthanded, a couple more odd man rushes. Certainly Ferris generated some chances as well, but I thought our grade A's, really both nights, I thought Darren Smith was unbelievable on Friday. A couple posts Saturday, made the breakaway saves. I know Friday night Corey Mackin kind of walked in unchecked too and had a breakaway. He scores a minute into the game, and then we weren't able to finish on ours. And that was a big momentum shift there. And then right before they scored their goal to go up 2-1 on Saturday, we had a wide open net. So we miss a wide open net. They come down and score 20 seconds later to go up 2-1. And again, there's that emotional swing there within a game. And actually, as our guys were coming back to the bench, I because the building was loud, I'm screaming at those guys, hey, do we need to review that? I thought it went through the net from our angle. It looked like it went right through the net. And that wasn't the case. But it's tough. tough. You know, we have to bear down to be better around the net. It's not an easy skill to teach or develop. But, you know, I think, again, a guy like Gage Terrell is critical. He's going to have to get back to that 12 to 15 goal plateau. You know, Braden Gelsinger will have to reemerge there a little bit and finish stronger. You know, Max Humitz will have to continue to play at that level. And then, again, some guys coming in will have to do it. So I think we're capable, and I think that big step is there. I think, you know, sometimes you have to go through some things like that. Obviously, I never wanted to include not making the playoffs, and we're the only league that does that, and it's not a good spot to be sitting right now. So there's a lot of, you know, we're looking at everything. We're trying to turn over every aspect of our program to make sure we're never in the spot. And again, that big leap has to happen as individuals and as a program next season.
Well, we're out of time here this morning. It's our last Laker Hockey Talk of the season. I don't want to leave without mentioning that the Blue Liner Banquet is coming up here probably in early May during finals week. It'll probably be on a Thursday in there, just so we get all the parents of the seniors out. It is to honor our seniors, and that will be happening, we think, at the CC Hall downtown. But one way or the other, there will be announcements on that, and we want fans to kind of be aware of that and be looking for it as it approaches.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always, you know, a great way to thank them and, you know, really thank our professors and faculty as well. We got a good turnout that way for all they do to help us with some of the challenges we face in our travel. And certainly thank our Blue Line Club who do so much to support Laker hockey this year and all seasons long, and kind of our last chance to be with the fans there a little bit before things split off there for a little bit. So appreciate all the support this season, and we'll hope to see everybody around town for sure, but also at the banquet in May.
Yeah, and don't forget, lots of hockey camps this summer. Lake Superior plays host to quite a few development camps, as well as the Bantam camp from the state of Michigan. And the ice will be back in, and it won't be that long until we're back into hockey season. Damon, good job with this show all year. We'll do it monthly starting in May and update folks on what's going on. I would think in May we'll be able to talk about national letters of intent and get some more names out there, and that'll be interesting for our fans.
Yeah, I think we'll be close to having a pretty good feel for what next season's roster looks like at that point. As you mentioned, you know, it's camp season started up, so there's a lot going on, and you know, we're working at a lot of areas. You know, structurally within our department, within our program, I think a lot of that transition, we're through that in terms of athletic director, and the presidential search is getting close, I believe, and I think that's really good for our program. There was so much uncertainty just looking for leadership at the highest level. So I think we'll come through a much stronger program and department, and really looking forward to that as well. So thank you for all you did, Bill.
All righty. Thanks, Damon, for a season of this, and thanks for another season of Laker hockey to all of our fans. And we'll be back in the month of May with Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.